The Eternal State, Revelation 21. Revelation 21 falls into three interesting portions: the New Universe, the New Jerusalem, and the Glorious Bride of the Lamb. The first four verses of Revelation 21 introduce the Holy City. Revelation 21 verse 9 through 22:5 give a detailed description of the Holy City. Revelation 21 verses 5 through 8 contains concluding remarks similar to those recorded in Revelation 22 verses 17 through 21. The New Universe. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and the sea is no more. Revelation 21 verse 1, Revised Version. In spirit, John stands at the end of the millennium and the end of time and introduces us into the eternal state, but he goes no further than an introduction. The new heaven and earth are reconstructions of the former, a coming forth from the terrible dissolution which Peter records in 2 Peter 3 verses 10 through 13, into the condition of incorruption and unchangeableness. Its inhabitants shall enjoy not only righteousness and peace, as during the millennium, but also ineffable bliss. In the most absolute sense, there will be the restitution or reconstruction of all things, Acts 3:21. God exclaims, "Behold, I make all things new," Revelation 21:5. Accordingly, there will be no more sea. Was there no sea in the beginning? The first words of Scripture are, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth," Genesis 1:1, Revised Version. As to the earth, God formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain, a waste, a vacancy. He formed it to be inhabited, Isaiah 45:18. But Genesis 1 verse 2 says, "The earth was without form, a waste, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Genesis 1 verses 6 through 10 intimates that the watery condition did not exist when the earth was first made. At any rate, here is a fine spiritual truth. Today the sea speaks of troubled masses. The wicked are like the troubled sea, Isaiah 57:20. But in that coming day there will be no more trouble. Note Revelation 21 verse 4. New Jerusalem. And I, John, saw the city, the holy New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21 verse 2 in the Greek. This is the city for which Abraham looked 4,000 years ago. Hebrews 11:19. This is my darling for which Jesus longed before times eternal. Psalm 22:20 and 35:17. In his vision, John beheld this same company 1,000 years before, not as a bride adorned, but as the armies of heaven, Revelation 19:14. At the beginning of the millennium, it will be said, "The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready," Revelation 19:7. Then for 1,000 years, he will be known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his bride ruling conjointly with him. "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet," 1 Corinthians 15:25. Christ will reign as God Almighty. Then, and not until then, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Then he, together with his bride, having subdued all things unto him, the Father, shall be subject unto him forever, that God may be all and in all, 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 28. During the eternity past, the glory of the Son was that he was equal with God, because he was God. Compare John 17:5 with Philippians 2:6. His glory during his coming 1,000 years rulership will be that he, as a man, his bride sharing that honor with him, shall reign as sovereign. Finally, Christ must have a recompense for emptying himself of his first glory and identifying himself with mankind that he might redeem men and save them. That eternal glory will be that throughout the coming ceaseless ages he will be the head of a divine human creation wrought by clothing humanity with divinity and thereby bring the creature into full harmony with the perfect will of the Holy Creator. He will bring the fruit of his sacrifice into the closest possible relationship with the infinite God. In these two closing chapters, we are reminded constantly of God and the Lamb. Through all eternity, we will worship God and the Lamb, and that will be according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 3, verse 11. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, Revelation 21, 3. All the saints will constitute that gigantic tabernacle or divine place. The tabernacle, tent of meetings in the wilderness in Moses' time, was Jehovah's place of meeting with men then, Exodus 25, 8. That was a shadow of the holy city here mentioned. While Jesus was on earth, he was God's tabernacle among men. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:20. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, John 14:9. Then in the absence of Jesus, his followers have been Jehovah's habitation. I will dwell in them and walk in them, 2 Corinthians 6:16. And finally and forever, the blood-washed throng will be the glorious dwelling place of the triune God in the city, in the sky. What a great marvel! God does not set that tabernacle in heaven, but brings it down out of heaven. Oh, how near to earth the eternal throne will be! That tabernacle is a holy city, and that city is the bride of the Lamb and her companions. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelation 21:5. Behold, I make all things new is a very meaningful statement. There will be absolutely nothing old in the eternal state. The former things, the fading, perishable things, all things marred by sin will have passed away. It will be the new creation in the fullest and most glorious sense. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21:7. This verse is a great and final encouragement. Hosea 11 verse 1 is a sidelight on this verse. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Exodus 4:22 declares that, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. But these scriptures were also fulfilled in Christ, Matthew 2:15. As Adam and all his progeny are termed the old creation, so Christ, the last Adam, and all the countless fruit of redemption are termed the new creation. This new creation with Christ as its head will be regarded as God's triumphant Son, the Father's lastborn, for all who believe must be overcomers in some measure. All the redeemed, viewed as one whole, inherit all things. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. The striking and eternal contrast between the destiny and condition of the righteous and the unrighteous is indicated by setting Revelation 21:8 over against Revelation 21:7. Verse 8 records 8 classes which include all the Christ rejectors who will be cast into the lake of fire. Here the number 8 speaks of frail humanity, 4 multiplied by the number of division, 2, the number 4 being 2 times 2. And from that burning lake there will be no egress. Jesus calls that lake a furnace of fire and Gehenna fire. He says it is an eternal fire, eternal punishment, as set over against eternal life. Study Matthew 13:42, 18:8, and 25:41 and 46. In these citations, the word hell is not Hades, the temporary abode of the wicked, but Gehenna, their final, eternal, and unchangeable abode. It is simply silly to limit these scriptures to the Valley of Hinnom, which was a faint picture of the lake of fire. The fleshly mind is enmity against God, takes side with the devil, gives God the lie, and denies the eternal damnation of Gehenna. Matthew 23:33. Its tongue is set on fire of Gehenna, James 3:6, and wrests the scriptures to its own destruction. Scripture is logical. If there will be a happy home for believers on Jesus, there will also be a prison for unbelievers. And if the one is eternal, why is not the other? Though it is no longer popular, yet it is true. He that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. The glorious bride of the Lamb. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Revelation 21:9-11. Revelation 21:9 records the fifth vision viewpoint. The eight preceding verses describe the eternal state, but the following verses picture the bride as seen during the millennium. The city, the great, the holy Jerusalem, will be pervaded with dazzling splendor, having the glory of God. Its luminary is like a stone most precious, like a jasper stone, crystal-like, because the Lamb is the lamp thereof. Revelation 21:23. Observe that the city is a prepared city, literally, having been prepared as a bride having been adorned for her husband. Yes, we read in Revelation 19:7 that the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. How? She hearkened to the voice of the Father and inclined her ear to his word. Thus she forgot her own people and her father's house, putting his son first in her devotions. She accepted him as her Lord and worshipped him. She became all glorious within by the effectual working of the word as she believed. Her clothing became of wrought gold. Psalm 45:13. The bride adorned is the city itself. If the bride is a company of saints, what constitutes the adornment? Two facts suggest that her adornment is also a group of saints. One, the enormous dimensions of the holy city, and two, where is the innumerable multitude of Revelation 7? How can that great innumerable company be said to adorn the bridal company? The various meanings of the Greek word kakos memenon helps us to see how. Kakos memenon means marshaled, decked, adorned, embellished, honored, or ornaments. By the Shulamite's entire separation unto her beloved, she compelled the highest esteem of other women. The daughters exclaimed, Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women, that we may seek him with thee? Song of Solomon 6:1. Again we read, The daughters saw her and blessed her, the queens and concubines, and they praised her. Song of Solomon 6:9. They honored her by calling out, Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Song of Solomon 6:10. After she was married and left for her wedding trip, they shouted aloud, Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. Song of Solomon 6:13. That is a rich picture of how other saints become an adornment of the bridal company. Full overcomers, the Philadelphia or brotherly love believers, learn the Lord in the deepest and largest sense. They really become the five senses to the rest of the body. They see as Christ sees, having dove's eyes, Song of Solomon 4:1. They hear as Christ hears, their ears having been fastened to the gateway of God's will. They taste and see the word of God, Psalm 34:8. They are of quick understanding, or scent, Isaiah 11:3. For he that is spiritual discerneth all things, yet he is discerned of no man, 1 Corinthians 2:15. They feel the deepest pangs of heart being wounded, torn, and crushed, dying daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Led as sheep to the slaughter, Isaiah 53:7, being full of eyes before and behind, Revelation 4:6. Understanding the ways of Jehovah in the past and his plans for the future, they enter so deeply and minutely into the things of Christ that they fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, Colossians 1:24. Their usefulness is in a hidden way. Such saints are comparatively few in number. Nevertheless, their words and their writings are quoted. Their doctrine is studied and proclaimed. Their full surrender, their wholehearted devotion, their holy walk in Christ, these all speak loudly and effectively to other saints who stand aloof from them in worship and service because the way is too narrow for them. What the faithful, self-sacrificing, true-hearted saints are to the whole church will not be known until the book of rewards is opened. Then the effulgent glory of the bride will shine forth in the exhibition of the help that the great majority of believers will have received through her life and ministry here. Paul said to the saints at Philippi that ye are our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing or glorying. 1 Thessalonians 2:20. The imposing wall, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 21:12. Similarly to the early Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem will be surrounded by a wall. It will not be a wall of mineral stone, but a wall of saints, whom Peter calls living stones. It will measure exactly 144 cubits, a cubit being a man's measure or distance from a man's elbow to his fingertip. They are wholly of Israel, for upon the angels that guard the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Doubtless they will be the 144,000 which were sealed in Revelation 7, and are seen standing before the throne in Revelation 14. The 12 gates agree with the entire word of God that all divine blessings to the whole world came through Israel. As concerning the flesh, Christ came of Israel, Romans 9:5. Through their fall, salvation and the riches of Christ have come to the Gentiles. How much more through their fullness? For if the casting away of them, Israel, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Romans 11:12-15. The kings of the earth, those who shall reign over the earth, and those who shall reign over the saved nations, do bring their glory and honor into the city. But they must come in through the gates, even through Israel, for gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Revelation 21:24-25. The word 12 is unspeakably full of meaning here. It is the number of divine government, and it was the prevailing number in Jehovah's first kingdom on earth, namely the 12 tribes of Israel. Before it was divided into 2 tribes and 10 tribes, the duration of the kingdom was 120 years, 10 times 12. Solomon had exactly 12 officers over his realm, and he had 12,000 horsemen. Jesus ordained 12 apostles who shall sit on 12 thrones and reign over the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 legions of angels at the Master's service, if necessary. There are 12 signs in the zodiac. The sun rules by 12s. There are 12 months in the year, 12 times 30 days in a year. There are 12 hours in a day, John 11:9, 12 times 5 minutes in an hour, and 12 times 5 seconds in a minute. The duration of Gentile dominion is 12 times 210. With this same climacteric number 12, God will introduce the eternal ages. The number 7 represents the fullness of time or dispensational completeness in God's dealings with man. That is, the fullness and completeness of the results of redemption. He began with seven creative days and will climax the seven ages of time with the millennial age. Revelation abounds with sevens, commencing with the seven churches and closing the Gentile times with the seven last plagues. But where the figure seven ceases, there the figure 12 begins, for 12 is the expansion of seven, which is 3 plus 4, while 12 is 3 times 4. Wonderful. Time ends with dependent humanity 4 added to deity 3, equaling unchangeable perfection 7. Jesus Christ will have put down all rule and all authority and all power, 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then humanity, by the infinite one, will exhibit to the uttermost the absolute and eternal dominion of Jehovah, God all and in all. God is one as to nature and three as to personalities, both speaking of his indivisible unity, power, and glory. In fact, 12 is the highest number of actual value. 13 is simply 6 plus 7. 14 is 7 plus 7, or 2 times 7. 15 is 3 times 5, the number of grace multiplied by the number of deity. 16 reminds us of weakness, being 4 times 4, in which deity is absent. Hence, the large figures of measurements here are 144 cubits and 12,000 furlongs, both multiples of 12. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. Revelation 21, verse 16. The shape of the city will be cubical, which speaks of perfection, solidity, and durability. God and the Lamb being the glory of that city, God dwelling in man, will be displayed eternally in every direction. The context indicates that the heavenly city will come down over the earthly Jerusalem. No doubt the two will be merged into one. It seems too wonderful to expect, but evidently the new earth will finally be the throne room of Jehovah. See Revelation 21:3. It is no marvel that Satan is striving to hold his dominion of the world. What makes a city? In the natural, a city is made up of houses and the people make the city. Likewise, the New Jerusalem will be constituted of redeemed people. Their glorified bodies will be the mansions, houses from heaven, in which they shall dwell, John 14:2 and 2 Corinthians 5:1 and 2. Thus, the saints themselves will make up the city, which will be the eternal habitation of Jehovah. The splendor of the city. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Revelation 21, verses 18 and 21. Observe that three classes of the rarest minerals are employed to express the wealth, the beauty, and the dazzling splendor of that city. They express also the solidity and imperishableness thereof. The degrees of Christian development here on earth will be on exhibit there forever. Some will compose the city and street of gold, some the wall of jasper, and others the gates of pearl. A street suggests activity, being the place where the inhabitants of the city move. There being only one street, the street, indicates the one accordness of the saints in glory in their glorious activities of worship and praise toward the triune God. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. Revelation 21, verse 19. 12 precious stones in nature are used to picture the unutterable value and preciousness of Christ in the saints unto God himself, as certain saints will adorn or garnish the bridal company, Revelation 21:2. So certain other saints will embellish those who constitute the foundation. Possibly the 144,000 of Revelation 7 and 14 will be those precious stones. Following is a description of the 12 stones with their meanings. 1. Jasper, a very precious stone. The jasper of Scripture corresponds with our diamond and is clear as crystal. Jasper means he will be made prominent. The crystal-like brightness and preciousness of Christ and the pure transparency of his character will be displayed in his saints. These qualities are seen in them now, how much more when they have their glorified bodies. 2. Sapphire, a very beautiful stone, sky blue, sometimes red, blue, and yellow mixed in an exquisite blend. It is incomparably precious. Job 28:16. The pavement of the God of Israel is likened to a sapphire stone. Exodus 24:10. Sapphire means telling out, a recounting. The exquisite beauty and heavenliness of Christ will shine forth through sapphire saints. Bear in mind that all these garnishings are pertaining to Israel. The brightness and glory of the bridegroom, which will shine forth through the bride, must of necessity be far greater. Therefore the city is pure gold, and the street is pure gold. 3. Chalcedony, a gem variegated with diverse colors in the form of clouds. It is copper-like. Chalcedony speaks of the durability of the glory of Christ, which will be exhibited in his people, not as a fading veneer, but an eternal embellishment. 4. Emerald, a beautiful gem, green without mixture. The emerald figures the resurrection. That is, the resurrection life and power of Jesus Christ will be displayed in the immortal and incorruptible bodies of the saved. The new creation, life out of death, is the result of redemption. 5. Sardonyx. It resembles the sardius and onyx stones, the onyx stone being like a fingernail suggestive of health. The glorified humanity of Jesus will be thus on exhibit forever. Sardius, it is of a reddish color approaching white. Sardius means ruddiness, which is suggestive of the unfading newness of the new creation, all things new. Chrysolite, a golden stone, yellowish-green, very transparent. The glory of the resurrection of Christ will show forth through the chrysolite garnishing of his glorified people. 8. Beryl, a jewel of sea green or bluish green color. Beryl signifies she will impoverish. It will be manifested in the saints by the resurrection and translation power of Christ that the devil has been impoverished or displaced to make room for them in the coming glory. 9. Topaz, a yellowish or pale dead green. Topaz means affliction has fled away. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 21:4. In topaz believers will appear the eternal proof that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 8:17. 10. Chrysoprasus, or chrysoprase, a golden leek, that is, a stone like a leek in color, is akin to the chrysolite. It is of a bluish hue or green with golden brightness. Chrysoprasus, or chrysoprase, signifies golden or divine achievement. The divine achievements of the cross and of the operations of the Holy Spirit will stand out in bold, bright relief for God to glory in and for saints to wonder at forever. 11. Jacinth, a precious stone of the color of the hyacinth, also like an amethyst, violet in color. This gives prominence to the royalty of Jesus Christ seen in the redeemed, though he once dwelt in a body of limitations on earth. 12. Amethyst. The glorious climax is reached in the last of these brilliant stone settings, the amethyst. It is violet, bordering on purple, composed of strong blue and deep red. The amethyst is called the dream stone, or I shall be brought back as from a dream. The right to reign will be seen in the kingliness of the blood-washed. Our Lord will occupy his throne, earned by the sacrifice of himself after the many years of patient waiting. It will be as if it had been but a dream. After the millennium, instead of Christ and his people appearing as a gigantic full-grown man, Ephesians 4:13, or the battle-clad armies of heaven, Revelation 19:14, they will be seen as a majestic cubical city expressive of rest from labor, peace after war, prosperity unchanging, and enjoyment undisturbed, unceasing, and eternal. It will be inconceivably wonderful and glorious. There will be no need for sun or moon, for the glory of God and the Lamb will illuminate it, and the city will be to the nations a gigantic luminary. Revelation 21, verses 23 and 24.